The Dolphins, and I fully admit it, I am a completely irrational fan. Even when I was an infant, my first words were, Dolphins Super Bowl.
UM is not covering the 23 points against Temple. They are not.
They're honestly the same. They're the same tier. They're the mid-tier. It's the battle of the midway.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Melo Confimo Sports and Betting Podcast, episode 2. So we're still fresh into it, but Dave, let them know what happened after week one.
Hey, I honestly just want to give a little quick round of applause, boys. Quick round of applause. Episode 1 launched, great response. Mm-hmm. But the real thing, number 2, 9-1 in bets. Come on, those are 9 locks we gave. Not we only missed one, and I even gave a full disclosure, it was a trap. But 9 locks. It was obviously FIU plus 7.5 mm-hmm. and money line. Smash with flying colors. Like I said it would.
And it got closer.
It did get a bit sketchy. But they closed it out. Colorado was the only one, which was the best game of the weekend. Can't wait to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. But the NFL was our bread and butter. The NFL, it was Dolphins minus 2, Packers plus 2, Colts plus 1. Lions, Seahawks, over 47.5. Ravens plus 3, and Ravens money line.
And then Fins.
Yeah, I already said the Fins. Yeah, okay. So 6 NFL, 6-0 NFL.
The Colts one was
2-1 in college.
I don't know how Houston was favored in that game.
That was a good call.
I was like, there's no way.
That was a good call.
They said Stroud wasn't going to play. He ended up playing. He actually played pretty well. But I was like, and Richardson got hurt.
Yeah, he got literally concussed.
I was like, oh no, here we go.
That was a really good call. Listen, by the way, I don't want to, pat myself on the back, but I said the Ravens, Joe Burrow, not fully healthy, and guess what? He re-injured himself. I know. So it sucks, but
he didn't look healthy. He doesn't look healthy at all.
They're not. They don't look good. They don't look good. But that's 6-0, man.
I know.
6-0, and the Dolphins won, like we also said would happen.
And we'll get into that later on.
But, yeah.
So we brought a special guest in today. There's a lot of hype around the Dolphins and
this other team,
the Dallas Cowboys. So without further ado, we got Lou Arias in here,
I gotta share a mic with a Cowboy fan.
So
how about them Cowboys?
We're making it work as best as we can right now, but
yeah.
Obviously, as some of you guys have probably seen, right now everyone's got the Fins, the Niners too, but the Cowboys as like the Super Bowl picks. So we're like, yo, let's bring Lou in, talk a little smack.
It's
but he
week
gets
two.
To talk about his Cowboys.
It's week
two.
Yeah.
So, it's week two. Yeah. Let's we'll not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. I've been a Dolphin fan a long time. I think we started last year 3-0.
Did we? Yes, we did.
Yeah, we won our first two games and we beat
and
the Bills
and
here
and
at home.
Tua got hurt and then we lost.
Exactly.
Like,
so I am not ready to say anything. Do we look good through week 1 and 2?
I'm ready to say it.
Oh, God. I'm not. I've been here too many times.
Cowboys, Dolphins, Super Bowl? Question mark?
Well, here's the thing. The Dolphins, and I fully admit it, I am a completely irrational fan. I, go through this every year. I've predicted the Dolphins win the Super Bowl 27 years in a row. Even when I was an infant, my first words were, Dolphins Super Bowl. I get it. We are an irrational fan base. But there's only one fan base.
There's a second and a third.
Pause. There is only one fan base that is worse than the Miami Dolphins in terms of rational fandom and just thinking everything every year is their year. And it's this guy right here. This fan base is a nightmare.
Wait, before we even get into this, how are you a Dallas Cowboys fan?
So basically, when I was born...
Are you a Pola 2.0?
No, relax. Relax. Shout out to Pola, but relax. No, basically, I was born, my dad put an MS Bit jersey on me and enshrined me, and it's over.
Oh, so your dad's a Cowboys fan?
Yeah, huge Cowboys fan.
Is he from Dallas?
No, he's not.
So he's the bandwagon fan.
He's the bandwagon. Hey, listen. We'll talk about that. Listen. All these guys are saying, oh, you got to be born from that city. You got to be raised there. Listen, that's BS. You can really pick whoever team you are. And if you're going to be Listen. Sometimes, you're just born into the team. And that's
just happens to be America's team.
Just happens to be America's team. Jerry Jones, the golden days. I understand we haven't won a Super Bowl since 96. We had the golden era with Emmitt Smith. And does. Troy Aikman, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Just saying.
Oh, my God.
He's no Dan Marino, I'll tell you that much.
Well, he's not, but how many Super Bowls does Marino have?
Oh, no. We're not going to get into that.
We're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into that.
We're not doing this today.
Marino is one of the best of all time. But the thing is with the Cowboys is that we have a great fan base. We're not the Eagles. The stinking Eagles are the worst. I mean,
Eagles fans are ruthless.
They don't start. We don't start fights. At least for
no, Eagles fans are brutal.
Well, because the thing is, Cowboy fans are usually Yankee fans and they're Duke fans and Laker fans.
Unfortunately, yes, that's how it is. You any international?
But you're Miami through and through outside of the boys.
Listen, I still love the Dolphins. Don't get me wrong. Dolphins, I'll root for them every Sunday, but the Cowboys are near and dear.
Except one Sunday this year.
No. Not
December 24th.
Don't even.
Is that
it's Sunday. It's Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
It's on Sunday. Nochebuena. Yep.
Yeah.
But listen, the Cowboys have gotten their ups and downs. I know the last 10 years with our Romo era. By the way, Dez caught that ball in Green Bay. I'm just saying.
I agree.
I'm just saying that changed the Cowboys for a few years. Romo, everything went down after that, and unfortunately, it just Romo's career kind of ended right there with Dez right behind him.
Actually, side note: do you like Tony Romo as an announcer?
I was about to ask him that.
Yes,
I did. I did too.
People are falling off the Romo train.
Until Buffalo, Miami last week in the playoffs, where the bias coming out of his mouth. And the things
yeah,
that
but
he
isn't
was
that every Cowboy? Isn't that every no, Cowboys it, player?
They did it,
past
they did it this past weekend too on Sunday Night Football. What's his name? Collinsworth.
Yeah. No, they were 100% rooting for the pass.
Who were we playing? Mac Jones. Mac Jones.
Bum.
Mac Jones threw a ball. It was an incomplete pass that went 7 yards over the guy. He goes, and Collinsworth goes, "Damn, that was a great throw. Great read by Mac Jones." I'm like, "It was an incomplete pass."
Yeah.
What are we now going to acknowledge like an incomplete pass as a good throw? I'm like, "Oh, I don't give a shit who the person is. God forbid who would throw that ball."
Yeah, that was a great
inaccurate.
Horrible pass.
I hate the bias, but going back to the Romo thing, I did like him. I thought he was, but I think he's just, I don't know what it is.
A lot of people have fallen off the Romo. I don't hate Romo as an announcer, but a lot of people
have lost his luster. That he's predicting a lot of these plays, and people like it. But he's getting to a point that it's like
he's also gotten to the point though that it's like he makes some of the most obvious calls of all time. It's like third down and 20, or like third down and like 8. Let's say he goes, "All right, expect a pass here." Oh, really? Thanks, Tony.
Oh,
like,
shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a genius.
Yeah.
I understand. And then, at least, well, he's making great money, so good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
He's actually a really good golfer.
He's a good golfer.
He's a fantastic golfer.
He's gone on some tours.
Yeah.
He's gone on some, what are the junior tours these guys go on?
The pro-ams.
The pro-ams.
Yeah,
he does the pro-ams. He's good. He's like legitimately good.
No, props to him, man. Didn't work out in football in the long run for him, but, I mean, commentating and golf, that's a pretty good life to me.
Yeah.
Listen, Lou, I got another thing for you because we posted this the Tyreek Hill story.
Oh no!
I will down this hill. Tyreek Hill, outside of the quarterback position, is the best player in football. This guy decides to DM me. He goes, "Oh, have you ever heard of Micah Parsons? Like Micah Parsons, is the best player."
First off,
I like Micah Parsons. I think Micah Parsons is awesome. He's not even the best defensive player in the league,
dude.
Because there's one man
that
you just put off. I don't know how. I literally said his name is Aaron Donald, and he goes, "That guy's defense sucks now." I'm like, what? Until further proven otherwise, Aaron Donald is the best player on defense in the NFL.
Listen, what do you think
more
this
than
last week?
I think so. My number one is Aaron Donald. My top five, it's Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa, and Chris Jones are probably all five of those guys. Can honestly are all really good. Aaron Donald, though, well, I wasn't even talking to him.
He is a menace.
Because Javon Holland. I mean, you're talking Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, when Ramsey's back and they're all cooking and Xavier Howard and his 17 kids.
That story's crazy.
Yeah.
My God.
No, the I haven't even gotten to DBs yet, but just in terms of
just
like
D-line.
Like, yeah, or just yeah. like, because their impact is different than a DB's impact.
I agree.
But Aaron Donald, until proven otherwise, is the best, most impactful defensive
honestly defensive player because he's literally a defensive tackle who disrupts every play. I mean, literally, we spoke about it right before. The Geno Smith. Oh, shit. Yeah, like, yeah, it's Aaron Donald is such a beast. Micah Parsons, though, is a... I'm going to give you...
He's a stud. That guy's in the backfield every play.
I've been watching him since Penn State because obviously Danny went to Penn State, so I've been going to a bunch of Penn State games. Yeah. He is a monster. I am not saying he's not a monster. I just don't... He put off T.J. Watt, Bosa, Donald, like, if they were bums.
They're definitely not bums.
Micah Parsons. That's literally what you said.
But of course, I'm biased.
Yeah, there's a bias.
Cowboys fan. I'm watching one of the best defensive players on our team in a long time.
He's nasty.
DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side. But Micah Parsons, I mean, my gosh. I sent you the clip. And I also think it's...
I think he already broke the franchise record for sacks, and he's like... No.
That was T.J. Watt.
Yeah, oh, T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt has 81.5 sacks in 89 games.
Didn't he have like 3 in week 1 or something crazy? Like
I think he had what, 2 yesterday, I think? I think he's like a 5 sack.
I think he's at 4 total.
And right you, now. Mike is at what? He's at 3. Like at 3?
Yeah.
3,
But listen, we have a really good defense.
Talk to us about the boys. We all know the defense is good. That to me is not a question. You got Trevon Diggs.
I think it's the most dominant defense. The most complete.
Wait till Jalen Ramsey comes back.
Most complete.
Wait till Javon Holland has 17 picks against Dak in one game.
I want to go to the other side because that's the biggest question mark to me.
Okay.
What? I know my point of view on Dak. What's your point of view on Dak as a Cowboys fan?
Well, before I get to Dak, let's talk about this. No, you're going to hear my reasoning. Let's talk about McCarthy, right? Okay. I think the first two games we're seeing about McCarthy is that he's calling a lot of quick plays. He's making play calls that makes Dak comfortable, like little slant rounds, little dump routes that I think it's kind of like really stretching out the field from sideline to sideline.
So you're saying Kellen Moore was bad for Dak?
Well, what's Kellen Moore doing now? Isn't he 0-2 with the Chargers?
And 70 points in 2 games?
Yeah.
I don't think
just like the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 70, but I don't think
the offense is the problem.
We're also making it a lot easier than Dak. Dak hasn't had to step up. He hasn't had to do a lot. He's just not making mistakes, even though Sauce Gardner
that's my point of view is that Dak is a great game manager. If you ask him to go win you a game and put up 40 points, do you think he could do that for you?
Possibly. Listen, my argument is,
throw 7 picks.
Who else has won a Super Bowl that is not the greatest quarterback?
Not Dak.
Nick Foles and Joe Flacco. Think about those guys. I mean, listen, I'm not saying like they're better or worse than Dak, but I'm just saying I'm naming some quarterbacks that have won previously Super Bowls and most talented.
I don't know if we live in that NFL anymore because Mahomes goes and wins because he's the best quarterback on the field.
Has Mahomes missed an AFC championship since he's been in the league? No. Yeah. I think it's like...
Well, that's his point. That's exactly what I'm saying.
The Cowboys went where those days
of having like an average quarterback, which nothing to take away from Flacco or, you know, Foles. They played well, very well to be able to get to that point.
Right.
But I do think that in the league that we live in now, you got to have really good freaking quarterback play. Because, dude, even Jalen Hurts in that Super Bowl did everything to win that game, and they still didn't win that game.
Yeah, basically. But I also think defenses win championships at the end of the day. And I think if you have a management quarterback who just doesn't cause a lot of mistakes, I think you can work around it. Now, we also got
rid of Zeke. He does make a lot of mistakes, though.
He is. That's the thing. He's known for that.
Last season, I think he threw like a record 15 interceptions, and he didn't even play the whole season. I understand that he wasn't fully healthy, but at the same time, like, listen, it's a new system. It's a new offense. Mike McCarthy's been watching what Kellen Moore did. I'm sure he's learned the mistakes, how to play to his strengths, and how to stay away from his weaknesses. I'm sure defenses are gonna slowly pick up on it through the season. Start watching film. But we also have Tony Pollard, which is a different element that now Zeke is
going. I like Pollard a lot.
I like Pollard.
And we also
awesome.
Have Deuce.
He's also my fantasy
Deuce in
guy.
The backfield. That, let me tell you something.
It's like an Alex Navarro
Next
back there.
Darren Sproles? Question mark?
No,
I don't know.
Stop it.
Listen, oh at 5'6", this guy makes some
Has he been playing?
First game he didn't play much, but last game, yeah, he had some plays up the middle.
He was the one that was taking the touches away from Pollard?
Listen, it's a long season. I mean, clearly, how many injuries have we been seeing now from the running backs?
You can't work these running backs, dude. It's a brutal position.
Oh, man, it's so brutal right now with Eckler, Chubb. Man, prayers up to Chubb because that was
Dude, Monday night is like cursed. Insane. Did you guys see that stat of like the last four Monday nights? It was the Chubb this Monday. It was Rodgers last Monday. DeMar Hamlin the last Monday of last season. Then Kyler Murray torn ACL the one before. It's four Mondays in a row that they've had like
are they making
a series.
An argument that there's something wrong with playing?
No, I think it's just like a curse. It's like curse. It's not like I mean, I know the Rodgers one. They've been doing like the whole turf grass thing.
Yeah.
This was not a turf grass thing. This was a straight missile to Nick Chubb's knee. That was like crazy.
Yeah. Minka. Oh man, that was a low blow. I mean, he really.
Were people calling it a cheap shot or no?
Somewhere. Some weren't.
It's hard
because I saw the argument. I think it was Ryan Clark who was making the argument of like, listen, like, you can't go high anymore, so you go low to bring him down. Granted, right. And then I think Nate Burleson's defense was like, go for like the middle section. He's like, when you're going that fast and you're like, you're not, you know, he's not
in a perfect world.
He wasn't
hit at the waist
exactly,
every time,
and he wasn't aiming for it.
You're all packed up, and
he's a big dude.
Thomas
you gotta bring him down,
he's
like yeah.
People, you know?
So like, body, listen, yeah. I don't think Minka went out of his like. I don't think it was like a dirty hit on purpose, but it was like when you see the replay, it's like, wow, like damn, that was like. Straight to the knees, man. Like honestly, if he would have hit him just a little bit higher, like in the thighs, it would have. But like, dude, this guy's flying. It's like a football play.
It's like I don't even know how his body can move that way.
Yeah,
the running backs, I feel like this year, already second week in, and I think they're just thinning out.
Well, it's the reason, that's the reason they're looking. They're trying to get paid like that. Like it's for this exact reason.
Yeah, yeah. Because they
out of
guaranteed money.
Yeah, because out of all the positions,
they made a good point. Camera almost flew over. I was like, oh, shit. I thought you fell. But my boy was making a good point with the thing with the running backs. The NFL has to kind of get involved in like setting sort of parameter for these running backs to get guaranteed money. Like it has to be like almost like an obligation.
Because
if it comes to the discretion of the owner, they're going to be like, fuck you. Like,
I'm not going to
do shit.
Because to the owner, it's like, all right, we know how.
Next man up, I'll draft somebody.
Because like running backs are one of those positions that you
healthy
can.
Healthy running back.
You know, obviously it's very important. Like, you know, there's guys like freaks like Derrick Henry who are disgusting, even Nick Chubb,
Saquon.
Like those guys are obviously very good.
Yeah.
But there's also a point that like, you know, where our RB1 is Raheem Mostert. No one probably ranks Raheem Mostert as a top 10 running back.
Yeah.
Guess what? He's had multiple 100-yard games. Like he's balling in our system.
1,000-yard
and
seasons.
Like, you know, we're paying him not as much as these guys are asking for. So like if you leave it up to the owners, they're never going to do that because you just draft one and it's like Bijan Robinson.
What's getting paid like $2 million a year?
Maybe. I think
probably with some like, sort of like incentive.
Maybe even more.
Then you got a guy like Dalvin.
Yeah, I got $8 million. Like
$8-9 million.
Doing nothing.
Splitting touches.
But I actually agree with that take. I think that there's got to be some sort of like because they deserved it. I mean, one, their production like running backs are a very important position, but two, like they're the probably. Outside of quarterback, who like obviously they get hit a lot, but like running backs are like a very dangerous, and their lifespan in the NFL isn't long.
No, it's not.
Because they're getting hit every time they touch the ball, like unless they take it to the house.
Yeah,
every
just
time.
Just like linebackers too, they're on the other side.
But they get paid at least though, like because
running backs, no one wants
to give these guys long contracts, and I get it from both sides because if you're an owner, it's like the smart play is to not really pay them, but like. These guys are good and they bring huge value to the team. Having a really good running back is, you know, it's huge. Like, I mean, the Titans have been running on the backs of Derrick Henry for the past 6 years.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson in Minnesota,
they're still
like,
doing it.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, and he got paid. Like, at least, like, he got paid and stuff. But there's got to be some precedent set for.
The problem is, too, if they get hurt early in their career, it's almost like
it's
game over about them getting paid. They may not even come back the same. That's the problem. Because even a guy like Melvin Gordon, bro, that guy looked like unstoppable. Got hurt once, never saw him again.
Basically.
Before we move on, I want to do a super, super, super early Dallas versus Miami pick and prediction on score.
I'll go. You go first. You're the guest.
So
I will.
When it happens,
we're gonna clip it. Because
you're gonna come on that week of the game.
I want to bounce off that one. I want your prediction, but I also want your lock of the week.
Okay, prediction and lock of the week. Okay, I think score Cowboys 28, Dolphins 21.
Okay.
I think we're gonna get too late into the season. Guys are gonna get banged up. I think the score.
That might be the
down.
Weekend. Ramsey might come back, right?
It might be. It falls right into my prediction.
Dolphins 40-0.
Holy crap.
Stop.
I'm not gonna go that crazy, but I'm gonna get very in depth into this description of like a score. I respect the Cowboys defense. I think it's gonna be a low scoring affair, and then we're gonna pull away towards like the end of the fourth. But I'm gonna go 27-17. Dak's gonna have two picks, one early in the game. He's gonna have an efficient game. Then he's gonna throw one of those late ones trying to come back.
Javon Holland pick six.
Yeah, Javon. I think we get a defensive touchdown. I like Javon pick six. And then Tua's gonna throw for a nice, easy 310 and two TDs.
310 and two TDs versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Reek's gonna have 210 of those.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that's
you
my
guys
take.
Are nuts. That's my speaking take. About nuts. that didn't come out right.
Yeah. Please enlighten us.
Let me tell you something. Our cornerbacks, listen, I know Diggs.
They got good nuts.
Probably are. Shout out to his son. But no, let me tell you something. Our defensive backs with Gilmore, with that veteran stance, and Diggs, I understand that year he had like nine.
I think it's
10.
I think it's 12.
Amazing year, and I understand some of the picks were in coverage, etc. He improved last year and coming into this year into man-to-man coverage. He knows he's not the most athletic guy on the field. But let me tell you something. Some of the coverage plays that he kind of has to beat these guys. I mean, we all know.
It's a tough position.
It's the hardest position. The hardest in football.
In football, by far. I mean, you have to be covering Tyreek. Jay Jettas, Cooper Kupp, all these guys around the field, match your speed and also predict almost what they're going to do because they're just so good and so talented.
100%.
So, but I think Diggs will have a pick in that game.
That's fine. It'll probably be one of those that's
exactly one of those two launches downfield.
Tyreek, fuck it. Tyreek's down.
I mean, it happened this last game with that rookie from the Patriots. Yeah, hey, that guy.
Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I mean, he high pointed the ball. I was like, man.
No, he's good, bro. They're calling him like a little Swiss Army knife of like that defense, and they get lined up. He's good. He's played well. I mean, that was a jump ball to Tyreek, and I think Tua was feeling pressure off the edge. Didn't really step into that throw, and Tua makes those throws. I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah, he made that.
What I was more frustrated
a win
about,
is a win.
It's true.
Yeah, we got a dub. What I was more worried, frustrated was like, dude, the defense kept getting stops. I'm like, just put a drive here together. We didn't need that play though.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we're good. So yeah. Wait. Anything else?
Well, before you get out, you gotta give your lock of the week. Lock of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, this is an easy one. Both teams are 0-2.
Ooh, good game to pick.
I know exactly.
I like this is a bang bang kind of situation. It's even. Give me Minnesota at home, straight up.
All right, pick them.
Lock of the week.
That game's also even right now.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Even. I like it straight up. 0-2. Everyone's. They're
I like
both
that.
Desperate for a win.
You're saying Vikings at home.
We're gonna keep a tracker of like all the guests that we have, and so this is you got your pick. This is your pick. You're riding with Kirk.
I'm riding.
You're riding with Kirk. All right, I love it.
You like that? You like that?
I love that.
It's a 1 o'clock game. That's gonna be a good game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see. Herbert versus Cousins.
I like it. I'm telling you.
I like it.
And without Eckler on the other side, I feel like they're going to struggle on the run game. So they're going to be focusing on the pass game. Even though Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are very, very talented duo on the receiving end.
They are. They both look really good.
But
right
I haven't seen –
Herbert looks good too. He's efficient.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything crazy.
I feel like he has such a high ceiling, and man, he just cannot reach it. I feel like every time I see him play, such
it's
a good
something
player.
Something with the way they're calling those plays there. I don't get it.
Kellen Moore, he just got there. So
No, but he
ran the ball.
Oh, but you're talking Chargers. You're talking Chargers. Yeah,
I'm talking about the Chargers. Yeah, something with the dink and dunks.
Well, the thing is with what you know, actually bringing
like,
in with
you
Kellen Moore.
You would think one play action when you, especially against us.
Yeah,
they ran for 230. I get it. The run literally puts
them
unstoppable.
And they used that the two back system that they did with Pollard and Zeke. They do it with Eckler and Kelly to a different extent.
But Kelly,
extent,
I don't think is not talented enough.
Yeah, we had Zeke
kind of falling off his prime, and Tony Pollard exploding.
I mean, I love Pollard. I think Pollard's an absolute stud. I think he's a top 10
back
in the league for sure.
I don't even know how he sounds like.
I've never actually heard
Seriously, do you hear? Can you hear his voice?
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever
heard him speak. Very quiet, but efficient running back. That's what we need, and no injuries, man. Watch, we'll see. When I come back on the 24th, we'll see. I know. No injuries. I mean, that's how people survive and go to playoffs and Super Bowls. They tend to stay a little bit healthy.
Unless your name's Patrick Mahomes, it's usually the healthiest team is the one at the end.
Gosh, I know. And Kelsey recorded his first touchdown. Ooh.
Yeah.
A little dink and dunk.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Dolphins, Cowboys, anything else? Anybody got it? No?
Yeah.
No, pretty good. I'm excited.
We'll see you on the 24th, buddy.
We'll see you on the 24th. And then we potentially might see you in the Super Bowl. Just saying.
I like that.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yes, thank you, Lou.
Appreciate it, bro. I'll see you on the 24th. Vikings, money line.
Shout out, Lou.
All right, there you have it. We will see what happens on the 24th, but let's talk some Finns Patriots from Sunday night.
I do want to talk about this because I thought we looked awesome. First half was going exactly the way it planned.
Everything was flowing the way it looked in the first game. Defense was great all game.
Great, and I knew, and we spoke about this last week. It was Fangio came out with a different game plan, more focused on stopping the run, and we were going to make Mac Jones beat
throw
us.
The ball, yeah.
And I, honestly, I was talking shit about Mac Jones. I still think he's a bum. But honestly, he didn't even play that bad.
No, he didn't
He didn't play that bad. It's just our defense was played really well.
To me, that's what Mac is, though. I think he had the game that he's going to do. He's going to play well enough for you to win games. You're not going to have these explosive plays. He also doesn't have that many weapons, to be honest. I'm not defending him. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
Barely top 29. Yeah.
I don't even think he's top 20. I don't think he's top 20. I would have to look at
who
falls in there. I think a guy like Dak is better than him, you know?
Dak's number 20.
But I don't think they asked Mac to do much. We shut down the run, and they did move the ball on us.
They did, especially in the second half. In the second half, especially.
Strip fumble from Chubb when they were driving.
Chubb was huge.
They were driving on that play, and X was a pick when they were driving too.
Yeah.
So two massive turnovers on drives that they were driving the ball down. We stopped the run down. They tried running a hurry-up offense on our defense too. We looked good in that. That's what I was worried about. Like, dude, they're trying to prevent substitutions from coming in, all these things, trying to gas us, and our D-line held.
The second half was, granted, a bit sloppier than the first half. The first half, I thought we were firing on all cylinders. I think we only had, like, one drive that might have stuttered. But this game kind of showed me that we can win, like, tough dogfights. I mean, granted, also, like I said, maybe it was half jokingly, I said 40-0. This game could have been 30-7.
It's true. You made a good point before the show.
We missed the two field goals. They scored on a completely illegal touchdown.
Dude,
that should have been a penalty. Should have been brought back. Like,
that was third down too, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So okay, 30-10 because they probably
would have kicked a field goal. Yeah, let's say they kick a field goal. Whatever. Still.
And also, I will say their blocked field goal was pretty impressive. That was a pretty cool. I've never seen that in my life. I saw the guy running. He's coming off my screen. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And comes and blocks, whatever.
How has no one ever thought about doing that before?
Just
getting a running head start.
But
the crazy part is, that's some shit I would do in Madden.
You're running all the way, running all the way.
And just try to just
time it. Just time it right.
Never work. But
yeah,
that's a Madden play.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, like it was, the second half was a true dogfight. We can play in those tough games.
We can run the ball.
We can run the ball. Mostert had a great game. I mean, I'm happy. Like, a win's a win. Sure, I would have.
It's never easy to play. You know, Belichick's always going to devise a good plan to take.
Well, we were up 21-7 at half. 21, I think. Something like that. We were up two scores, maybe even more.
Oh, yeah.
24,
you're
maybe.
You're talking about those two field goals. It's a completely different game.
Yeah.
Offense puts together a better drive here and there.
I think
but
we'll
Belichick did an amazing job of not even letting our offense on the field. You know.
Yeah. No. And listen, like those type of games are like the Pats. Like it's going to be those dogfights. Yeah, but listen, I'm super happy.
You saw what Tyreek said about the fans.
The fans. Yeah.
You went.
I've been to Foxborough twice. Pretty brutal. Still to this day, the worst fan base that I've actually ever interacted with is the Baltimore Ravens.
Really.
Ironically, and honestly, the Patriots are pretty bad. And we went, it was a New Year's Eve game, like 2013, I think. And they were like pelting us with snowballs. It's kind of whack. We lost like 27-7. Yeah,
it was like Buffalo, like, when they were throwing yeah, on
the
field. Yeah,
they were basically we were the field, and they were like pegging us.
Gave a warning.
Yeah, that was the first time I went to Foxborough. The second time I went to Foxborough, actually, I sat on the upper decks. Like it was like with me, like Oski. We were visiting Oski. He lived in Boston at the time, and they were actually super nice then.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Like contradiction between the first time and second time.
I guess it's
the Ravens, though. Exactly. The Ravens. The Ravens was also a blowout. We lost 4-0.
I remember that game.
And they couldn't be more obnoxious. Yeah, Thursday night, it was brutal. Till this day, the worst fans I've dealt with, Baltimore. The nicest fans I've dealt with is Cincinnati and the Chargers.
Yeah,
because the Chargers don't have any fans.
They came back from 17 down and they didn't even say a chirp at us.
I know. We were chirping. Because Polo was there.
Yeah.
But.
I'm happy.
Listen, I'm happy.
How are we going into home opener?
3-0.
3-0. That's 6.5 right
now. Yeah, I'm the only thing I want to see.
Broncos are desperate for a win.
That worries me a little bit.
Especially after what happened this past week against the Commanders.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, they haven't looked as bad as they looked last year.
They went up like 21-0. The offense is back.
They also hit like a Hail Mary to like even get in back in that game.
And then people calling that it should have been a PI in the end zone. I'm like, you shouldn't have blown a 21-0 lead.
I fully expect us to win.
Defense is gonna be great again.
Defense is gonna be great. I'm expecting Phillips to be back, and I'm hoping Armstead
would be nice.
Comes back. And I'm curious to see where Waddle
protocol.
So let's see if he comes back.
Would be nice to have him.
Yeah, but no, I fully expect to win. First game at home. The Rock is gonna be. It's gonna be loud. It's gonna be good.
Stretch after that. Let's say we go in, home opener. We go to Buffalo. Obviously, that's always tough to play.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with the weather, which is good.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be freezing.
Yeah.
But then you go into a stretch of Giants and Panthers at home. And then I was reading something after it's like 9 of our we have 9 remaining home games.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We're stacked in the back half of
a lot of home games. So. It's good if we can take advantage. We're not going to take advantage of heat later on in the season, but packed Hard Rock,
I think we should be 5-1 by at minimum 5-1 by week 6.
I think so too.
And I think we can be 6-0.
I think we could be 6-0 too. Everyone, I think if we continue to play the way we're playing, I don't see why not. Right now we're a hard team to beat because we look very complete. We got to just stay healthy, obviously. And Tua's got to continue to be the Tua that he's been. And the O-line has to continue being the O-line.
They've been
that
very
been.
Good. I mean, it's a mix of Tua getting the ball off so quick.
And we played
against
two very freaking good defensive lines. Arguably two of the best that we're going to probably play for the foreseeable future.
No, Tua should have 15 seconds this weekend this point.
Exactly. Because, especially if Armstead comes back.
Yeah.
Then
so.
The big question, and we don't have to go too crazy on this, but Isaiah Wynn has done a phenomenal job at left tackle.
Yeah. Honestly,
so what do? Do you keep him on in the line somewhere? Because
he'll play. And even if let's say he doesn't start, which I think he should start, he's been playing well. They'll do a rotation just because the O-line, they're gonna need.
People are saying knock out Austin Jackson.
Most likely that he would
and
be the other
Isaiah
tackle.
Wynn at right tackle.
The one that I'm more not worried is the only worry, and I guess it's a mix
Connor,
of Tua and is the snapping.
That
one was kind of a mix
all the
on
snap problems on Tua.
Who? Oh.
Him.
Well,
every time he's Tua.
He's
not fully wrong.
Because some are on Tua, but some are absolutely on Connor. Absolutely are on Connor.
Yeah, Tom.
But
I think it's like the under center stuff. Like,
that one was on him. Yeah,
I know, but
that
a lot
was
of
on
times
him.
It looks like Connor's leaning a little bit.
Or it's also just like straight up in his ass.
We gotta move, man. You gotta go.
I get that.
I think it's like a 60-40 split. Like I think
I get that.
You can't wait that long for the
block.
So I know.
Yeah, I feel
and
that.
Tua probably feels the same way.
I gotta get the fuck out of here.
My thing is, it's like that's the one issue that you think you take advantage of and you figure out.
Yeah.
All fucking offseason.
Yeah.
It's going to cost us at one
because
point.
Because he was our center last
year.
Or was he guard last year?
No, he was center last time, and he had snap problems last year, too.
Yeah.
With not a lot of under center stuff, more the high
over,
center stuff. But, dude, like that game, I think we were in our own territory, and Connor put a high snap, and it was a one possession game at that point in the game. I'm like, all of a sudden, that's a bad snap, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
we're in a sketchy situation. And
we'll
then
figure
Jason,
it out. We'll...
Jason Sanders, man.
Oh, okay. I don't even want to talk about
Jason Sanders. Why does he stink?
Dude, he's been the same. Like,
I keep thinking he's good, and then things like that happen, and everyone's starting to be right.
And the block, honestly, I don't even blame the block on him, but the other one, like,
I can't blame the block.
Mike, you, if it's ever fourth and two, and it's a 55-yard field goal,
I know. I was actually shocked.
Go for it,
I
and he always does.
He
always and
I, was
and
shocked
I
that he, went for
he honestly, if he hits the field goal, the game was pretty much over
it's
there.
Over, it's over.
But and so I get it, obviously. Don't put our livelihood and my
he
like
also missed
heart.
An extra point last week, which I defended him.
No, that
the guy got in there, and I guess
no,
he pushed it. Right.
No,
I get it. You got it.
No extra points. There's no excuse unless it's blocked. There's no excuse.
I'm with you.
Luckily, our defense bailed us out on that last drive in terms of, but that
not
was
giving up any points.
Yeah, that was sketchy. Yeah, Jason
got
Sanders,
is
come on, buddy.
I
want to root for you, man. Just hit some field goals, man. Just hit a 50-yarder for me. Just that's all I'm asking. Hit a 50-yarder. Hit an extra point. Hit a more. Like,
especially when we need it. Really
yeah,
bad.
It's just the end of games. Actually, yeah, you could miss your first one. You can miss your first one.
It's
you
weird.
Better hit your last one.
I mean, I don't even want to go this route, but like when Flores was here, like we had lost, I think, 3 or 4 games by 3 points or less.
Yeah.
And every single one of those games, Sanders missed a field goal.
Yeah, I know.
So, like.
He was
just better
now.
So
yeah.
Those things get kind of hidden, but
yeah. You ready for some? I'm ready to give out some locks this week. I've got three locks in the NFL.
NFL locks. All right.
I've got three locks.
I'm going back
to the well of the Green Bay Packers.
I know where I'm going.
I've got my first pick.
Oh, you're going to the Packers? That's what I was going to pick too.
Packers -2.
Oh, you're taking the Packers.
Oh yeah. Are you fading me?
I was
going to
go the other
way. We won't go against each other.
I think we have to at this point.
I'm going.
Then we don't miss.
Yeah, true. Packers -2. I'm riding them again. I love what I'm seeing from Jordan Love. I think the Packers defense is good. I think Christian Watson's coming back this weekend.
So then are the Falcons good?
So here's the thing. Well, I do think the Falcons are good. I said that I didn't trust the Falcons, but they have all the weapons. Falcons got Drake London. I mean, they don't use Kyle Pitts, but he's there. Janu's there. Bijan, Algier.
Too?
Yeah. Wow. They've got a really good O-line, and their defense got some playmakers. The Falcons are good. It's just I don't know if I trust them yet.
Yeah.
That's why.
I got you.
I took the Packers, and it ended up hitting.
Yep.
Which I got very lucky because it was won by 1 point. But the Packers, I think Aaron Jones may or may not be back, but Aaron Jones, once again, A.J. Dillon,
I think. That is going to be a big
A.J. Dillon, I think, is a solid, you know, replacement. I think Jordan Love's been really good. And if Christian Watson comes back, I think this line goes up a bit. And I don't trust the Saints still. They're 2-0.
I don't trust them either.
Derek Carr.
Their defense is good, though.
Their defense is good. But Derek Carr is Derek Carr. And I think he's good. He's like, I don't think he's good. I think he's like the middle of the pack. He's kind of similar.
Is he better than Mac Jones?
Yes, he's better than Mac
Jones. Okay, let's do a top three between Dak, Mac Jones, and Derek Carr.
Oh, shit, that's tough. I Mac Jones is the third place. I don't know. It would go. Derek Carr versus Dak is pretty tough. You know what? I'm gonna go Mac Jones, Dak, and then Derek Carr first.
Wait, who?
I'll go Derek Carr, Dak, Mac Jones.
Okay.
No, honestly, probably goes Dak. You can probably switch it. They're honestly the same. They're the same tier. They're the mid tier. It's the battle of the midway. Like,
he
makes as many mistakes
overall.
As Dak.
We can't go off 2 games.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Derek Carr is like the most mid core. Like he's. I'm telling you, he's actually very similar to Dak Prescott. I think they're the same guy. So I'm gonna take.
How about Garoppolo?
Ooh, same tier.
Yeah, they're kind of all in that little cesspool.
Purdy,
too, like they all got.
Dude,
traded.
I don't know what to think of Brock Purdy. I just don't know what to think about him.
I think he's good.
He just can't stop winning. He doesn't lose, but his team's also stacked.
His team's stacked.
But then again, like it's like obviously it's you can't really do that because like obviously you can do that with pretty much everybody, right? Like Dak's got CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard.
Right.
Tua's got
Reek
and Waddle. Like you can do that with everybody, but I don't know, man. I think they're kind of just middle of the pack.
No, they're middle of the pack. I was just curious, like
they're not like players. I genuinely don't think Dak is bad. I just don't think Dak is really good.
Yeah.
I think he's just solid. That's and I think Derek Carr is the same way. That's what I'm saying. Like, He could. He could.
Or they'd probably, be 1-1 right now instead of 2-0. All right, so you got.
So I've got Packers minus two.
Okay. I was going to take Saints money line there.
All right, I love it. Fade. Yeah. It's a fade.
And I agree with everything you're saying. I think Derek Carr's. I think the defense in New Orleans is really good. They've played really well. And I think this is going to be their biggest test so far. They haven't really played anybody like crazy. But I do think that the defense is good. And like I think there's a big test for Jordan Love. Aaron Jones coming back could really be a spike to that offense. That's the only thing. But I think Derek Carr plays well in that game.
All right. My second one, I've got Titans plus three. Ooh, Titans plus three playing like the Cleveland Browns. The Browns just lost Chubb. I think they just lost Denzel Ward. Deshaun Watson has not looked good at all, honestly. I just think that the Titans, you know, the Titans are the best dogs in the world. Like I think Vrabel's won straight out as a dog like 18 times in the last like three seasons. Yeah. Like something crazy like that.
He's another underrated coach in the league.
Vrabel's awesome. I love Vrabel. But I'm going to take Titans plus three. I think the Browns are kind of just in shambles right now. It's just hard to trust them. I know it's at home, but I'm going to take Derrick Henry, Tanny, another. I used to always defend Tanny, but Hopkins. I mean, their run defense is one of the best in the league. I mean, there's no more Chubb there. So, like, I don't know what the Browns are going to look like. So, until I see that, taking Titans plus three. And then my absolute lock of the week, I'm going back to the well. Lions, Falcons, over 46. At Lions again, at Detroit. The over hits every time. They hit 8 out of 9 times last year. It's already 1-0 this year. That was my lock of the week last week. Lock of the week again. Like I just mentioned, I'm glad you brought the Falcons.
Lions are going to be pissed of like losing at home.
Yes. The Lions are going to come back, and they're going to put up – they might even cover by themselves. They might have put up 46. And the Falcons, once again, they've got good weapons. Lions defense, they probably just lost Gardner
Saw. Do you think the Falcons cover that
3.5? The what?
Do you think the Falcons cover that 3.5?
Maybe. I'm taking the over. Yeah, I know you're taking the over. I'm taking the over. Just the over. Everyone can score.
That's my lock
of the week. I've got a little tease going, too. I've got a three-team tease. I won't include it. I'll just say what it is. It's Packers plus 4.5. Dolphins pick them. Bills pick them. Okay. But I'm only going to count those three that I gave. Titans, Packers, Falcons, Lions over.
Speaking on the Bills, I think the Commanders, I don't think they win, but I think they cover the 6.5.
The 6.5? It's at home, right?
It's at home. Their defense is good. Well, their enough defense there. Is good. I mean, I'm not saying they're a great 2-0 team.
Yeah.
But I do think they cover. I think there's a lot of hype around them.
Yeah.
I think the Bills ultimately win that game. I hope they don't. But
Bills stink.
I do think that.
I like it.
I think they cover. I do think it's gonna be a closer game than a touchdown game.
You talk about the Commanders. You have to talk about Sam Howell. That guy's playing some.
So that's where I was going. Howell's playing well.
Another team's got
500 yards and 3 TDs through 2 games.
A lot of weapons too. They've got. Robinson, well. Terry,
McLaurin.
They have another one. Jahan Dotson.
They're not a bad team.
They've got good team. And Eric Bieniemy. So
they struggled against the Cardinals, but they came back furious against the Broncos.
They come back twice. Yeah, they were down by the Cardinals too. By the way,
the Cardinals are sneaky. Yeah. It's only 2 weeks, but they almost beat the Giants last week, and that was a crazy comeback.
They're gonna beat the Cowboys this week.
Well, you want to hear what my third lock is?
Oh, hit him, Dre. Hit him, Dre.
Let me pull it up here. Minus 12, Cardinals are covering that. I'm letting you know that right now.
No.
They're covering that. Uh-oh. They are definitely not covering. And I understand it's been close games. The last 2 weeks of the Cardinals, bullshit. Cowboys are slaughtering the Cardinals. I'm just saying.
Clip it.
I'm just saying.
Clip it for when the Cardinals win.
Yeah.
Stop.
I'm calling it right now. They're covering that 12. Those are my locks.
Parson gets 3 sacks this week, by the way. That's
you guys might win that game. Right. But I got Saints money line, and I got Cardinals covering the 12, and Commanders covering the 6.5.
All right. So. All right, I like it. Let's see how we can go. Let's see.
What was it? What a 9-1?
9-1 in total. That's college and NFL. 6-0 NFL.
There is some crazy games in college this weekend.
Yeah. We spoke about last week how like the college slate wasn't
I know. Like, which too crazy? Ended up being a disaster great. Of a week. I don't know how many top teams almost lost, including FSU. That,
exactly. That's a great week in my book.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, because we were making a statement of like, any given Sunday in the NFL, anything could happen.
Yeah.
It almost was like in any given Saturday, anything could happen.
Dude,
because
historically,
games like that are never games.
Yeah.
Georgia was losing. Yeah. Texas was losing to Wyoming. FSU was losing to BC. Bama was a one possession game.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with Bama. Bama, that was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
I don't get it. So,
Tennessee lost too. Florida beat Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised we didn't talk about that as a lock.
Yeah.
It's hard to play in the
swamp. We talked about it, we brought that up. Yeah. But it was just like it was too icky to touch.
I get it.
I didn't want
to
touch that game. But
like when I saw what was happening, I'm like, I'm not surprised. All you need in those massive college environments is like opposing team gets in the game, crowds in it, anything could freaking happen, dude.
Yeah.
And Tennessee came up and it looked like they were gonna dominate that game, and then all of a sudden, turnover, Florida scores quick, and then you're like, oh shit, okay.
Dude, there's some big games this weekend.
Yeah, I know. The one that sucks that he's out is Travis Hunter for Colorado.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my lock.
What?
Oregon 21 point favorites?
Yeah. I already got 21.5. That's on my slate.
Put on Boston College.
That's
no. That would have been brutal. I would have cried. I would have cried.
I can't even talk about that. I can give you my college picks if you want. All right. I honestly fully admit that this may be a homer pick because I am a bit worried with Colorado, but I'm taking Colorado plus 21.5.
I'm a bit worried. I would take it too though. It's been working for us.
Except last week. I did take them live though, and it smacked. It's a bit sketchy because it's very similar to the argument of the Florida in the swamp against Tennessee, but I'm taking FSU minus 2. I think FSU is the better team. I don't know what's up.
That's a lot for me for sure.
It's sketchy, but I think Florida State should win.
Florida State's gonna.
I think they
bounce back from that.
I think they bounce back.
Horrific game they played.
Yeah, I mean they are the better team.
I hope Jordan Travis is healthy.
That's what I was gonna say. Jordan Travis is great. I'm banking on the good quarterback because
he did get hurt in that BC game. Came back in the game, finished the game, and everything. I know there was a point there where I think he fell on that shoulder again or something.
What is it? Throwing shoulder or non-throwing?
I think it's his non-throwing shoulder. Okay.
That's all that matters.
But he finished the game. He looked fine. Yeah. But I mean, I haven't heard anything about the status of him or if you know. He's going to play.
Obviously. I think that's going to be a great game. It's in Clemson. That's going to be a tough one.
It's a tough environment, but it's a noon game.
Not primetime.
Damn. Everyone was kind of heated about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the primetime game.
Well, they want to play in the heat.
Well, yeah, but that should benefit both, though. Technically, I guess, hypothetically. Yeah, Florida, Clemson.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the heat can kind of.
Like, I think it's more because the primetime game is Notre Dame, Ohio State.
True.
I have Notre Dame plus 3.5. I actually think they can win outright.
Ohio State hasn't looked good this year, in my opinion.
They haven't looked great, and I think that Notre Dame has legit like looked really good. I think Hartman, their quarterback. He's a Heisman candidate.
He's a Wake kid, right?
Is he?
Wasn't he Wake?
No.
Was that Purdue?
Purdue.
Oh, it's Purdue?
Yeah. He is. Nasty. I'm backing him, and I think Notre Dame could get the job done at home. I'm going just plus 3.5, but I think I wouldn't be shocked if Notre Dame wins, and that's the night game. That's the primetime game.
I know what I'm picking.
You took
two of the ones that I...
Okay, go. I have two more, so I won't... Okay. I won't you go first.
Yeah.
I don't want to take any more of
that. So I was going to pick Colorado to cover the 21 points. Yeah. I mean, put some respect on Deion's name, man. And then FSU, I do think they cover the two. I think they actually win by like 10.
Ooh, like that.
But
alt spread.
Yeah, but the game, here, get ready for this one. UM is not covering the 23 points against Temple. They are not. They couldn't cover it against freaking.
Well, I said 55 was a ridiculous.
I know, spread. I know, it's ridiculous.
But Temple,
it's,
I mean,
in
I
Temple.
Mean,
that crowd is gonna be live. they're gonna quiet you.
Temple money line. Put it on the ticket. Temple money line.
Don't go that far. But I will say, Temple plus 23.
Oh man. Yeah, yeah. Hey, you can say, speak your mind. You're the only Kane in here, so.
We play a different brand of football than we did a year ago.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's what all the UF fans are saying. Listen, I'm listening.
Against these teams, okay?
Okay.
When it's a team that we need to beat, okay? We're gonna run the ball down their throats. We have easily a top five offensive line in the country.
The line is good.
Okay, we're going to physically dominate you. We're gonna physically wear you out.
Not us.
Who?
You can't dominate the Biscayne Blues.
Listen, we're not talking about that. It's a different era of football. But listen, we play a different brand of football. I think Shane Dawson has evolutionized our offense because he's not scared to take the chances when it's showing. And I just think that we're just going to physically dominate the teams we should be. We're not going to get fancy. We're just going to play old school football, run for 230 yards, which we have against these teams that we need.
No, you guys are going to win this game.
Who's your next big game?
UNC.
UNC? Because when they you guys play FSU.
They got Temple, then they got Georgia Tech at home. They play in Miami, and then they go on the road to
UNC,
North Carolina.
UNC is a good – yeah.
That's going to be a big test for them. And then week right after, you're playing Clemson.
Yeah, we play at Clemson at home. Okay. I'm not scared of Clemson. I just don't think Clemson is –
I agree.
The only games right this year that I think are losable for us are UNC and FSU. Because those are both away. Well,
that's gonna be that Miami FSU game is gonna be crazy.
I don't think we're gonna lose.
That's gonna be pretty hyped.
I think the FSU game. I think a lot of FSU fans are scared after watching Boston College almost kind of stay close to them.
It's a trap game. They're overlooking.
The bandana game.
Oh man, damn! I would have put that on the ticket.
I know. It was the bandana. Should have put that
on the ticket. You always put the bandana game on your ticket.
I know. We messed up not doing that.
Always.
They're playing for a lot that day.
It could easily be the decision of whether or not Miami sneaks in to the top 10, maybe even top 4.
I mean, I think if you're undefeated by the time you get to FSU, you guys are a top 10 team.
Yeah, I mean,
You'll be right on the cusp probably, and then that would be you're 10. It'd be 10 versus if you guys stay undefeated and probably somewhere still in the top 3.
Four. We're 4 right now. We actually 4 because of that game.
And we might actually see you guys twice because if we're both undefeated by the time we play FSU, we'll easily see each other in the ACC championship. Again.
That would be crazy. Yeah. Miami FSU twice in a year would be crazy.
I don't think that's ever happened.
I was literally about to say that. I don't think that's ever happened.
That would be crazy.
I don't think that would be good for the city of Miami.
This place would go. Well, because the game's in Tally, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, like, just the straight up like hype that goes into those games.
And then
like,
and then what the ACC championships? What in
North Carolina?
North Carolina,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be hype.
I knew it.
We'll do a live episode.
Yeah, how sick would that be? Yeah. Live in North Carolina.
We'll swing by the Conference USA Championship first, and then we'll go to the ACC Championship.
Just like they're not playing FIU in the ACC Championship.
We'll see. We'll meet them at the Orange Bowl.
Both FSU, you know, they're up there. I think Miami's making its way, but I think it's good to see these two teams finally back in like some sort of relevance after so many years of both of us being kind of like below par. I think it's good for college football to see FSU in Miami.
If UM loses to Temple this weekend, how would you feel?
He'd quit the show.
Man, the way we've been playing.
I
just don't think that we're so much more sound. I think the guys that we have, like, just won't let that happen. I mean, there's so much on the line, especially for Cristobal. I just think that if he even sees the game coming to like even close, he's just like, listen, run the ball. We're gonna run for 300 yards.
The line is nice. The line, I will give it to them. The line, the O line is very nice.
Temple plus 20. you got any other picks? That's all.
I've got two more picks. All right, next pick. I've got Oregon State minus 2.5. I love Oregon State this year. I think they're one of the most underrated teams in the Pac-12. They've got Clemson's old quarterback, DJ. I'm going to butcher his name. That team, very underrated. They're playing at Washington State. It's another ranked matchup. I'm telling you, there's like 7 ranked matchups. It's crazy.
I think it's 8.
But I really like Oregon State to cover. I like Oregon State to – I mean, I have a future on them over, I think, 8 wins. So – let's get to 4. And then my last one, you know where it goes. FIU plus 10.5 at home against Liberty. Homecoming game this weekend. It's going to be a crazy one. I don't know who the hell scheduled Liberty for homecoming. But when you beat them.
It's an early homecoming game too, it feels like.
Yeah, I thought it's usually in October. Yeah. But
it's going to be hot.
Yeah. Good. Liberty's going to be sweating their ass off. True. I'll tell you that much.
I guess that's why they did it.
Listen, 3-game win streak, going for 4.
Jenkins looks great.
Jenkins looks awesome. Defense looks awesome. Shout out Donovan Manuel. Shout out Chris Mitchell. Like, the team is – oh, shout out Coach Mack. And
what's our boy number 4, the safety that I sent you?
Christian.
He's a beast.
I think his last name might be Christian, actually. But he's – The team's knocking on all cylinders.
Yeah, they're playing well.
I couldn't be more happy with how FIU's playing. I mean, Vegas had our win total at 3, and we're already 3-1. So I'm going to keep riding this wave till it crashes anyway, but it ain't going to crash.
What was our projected FIU win total for the year? 3 wins, right?
3 wins. Yeah, no, we're already at it. We just got to win more. We have a realistic shot at going bowling.
Bowling, yeah.
Just got to get 3 more wins. Liberty's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie. Liberty's probably the second best team on our schedule. Oh, actually, Arkansas's the best team on our schedule. It's going to be a fun one. it's probably world. Arkansas, Liberty, Western. but yeah, +10.5 at home. We're cover monsters this year, minus the one time in Scottsdale.
I know.
Outside of that one, we've covered every spread. We've won 3 games, all as dogs. Let's go get another 4th dog win. So that's my 4th pick,
that
final
game
pick.
That we didn't cover was against, what was it?
Maine,
bro. Oh.
We only covered games that were dogs.
I know.
All 3 games that's we've true. Been dogs. We're two and one as dogs, money line straight. So keep riding the wave.
Oh yeah, I like it. I'm pulling up. These guys want some crazy topics. We're not going to be able to get into all of these. Some of these are got to be like conversations in themselves, like top Miami sports moments. Like,
okay,
that's a podcast in itself.
Yeah, we can save the. We can do like a Q&A podcast.
We got lock of the week. We locked that player props from Christian Barrial. He wanted
CV.
Yeah.
All right, I got him with a player prop. Give me 1 second.
Pola brought up Tua's sleeve as the newfound Dolphin success. Am I not right? I'm not going to disagree with him, especially coming from him.
No, he's right. He's right. He's
the
right.
Tua sleeve.
He's
is...
made a full 180 on.
Yeah.
On Tua.
Dame to Miami. I mean, that's a whole other topic. The rumors are heating up that there's another team
Dame,
now.
Dame's coming. That's
got to be BS, right?
It's
I don't
it's
know
a what classic
I'm
tactic.
Reading things, man.
It's a classic tactic of literally like. We need to, you know, we're not getting what we want from the Heat, so let's make up this scenario.
Right.
No other team is going to go for Dame because everyone knows Dame wants to go to Miami.
Yeah.
What's the point of the Charlotte Hornets going all in on Dame?
Do you think that he has like a change of heart knowing that the Portland might not trade him to Miami?
He has not. From what I've read,
he's maybe open his mind to something else. Okay.
No. He wants Miami.
I just want it to be done already.
It's coming. By the way, for player props have not come out yet. It's Tuesday.
Okay.
But Jenkins over 3 touchdowns this weekend. Keon Jenkins over 3 touchdowns plus 280. Just made it up in my head right now. Take it, Christian. If that thing comes out.
Keon Jenkins.
He's right. Him.
Wow. I like it. And then Dan wanted jersey rankings, but that's.
Of what?
NFL.
Number one jersey in the NFL is the Dolphins throwback. My second would be probably the Chargers powder blues. Third, I'd probably go with the Eagles, the mean green or whatever it is.
Okay.
Need that
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
I like
that
one a lot.
That they've been repping.
The Oilers. The Oilers is a sick one. But nothing tops the Dolphins white throwbacks.
Dolphins,
that's my favorite jersey of all time. Bit biased, whatever. I'm trying to think of a fifth
nice
one.
Jersey or no?
Probably the most basic jersey
just,
in the game.
Everything's the same, right?
No, they're not bad. It's a classic. It's just a classic. I'm trying to think of.
I know there's another one.
I actually like the Vikings.
Remember the color rush?
Yeah, dude. The Dolphins all orange are color rush.
Some of those were
actually the Dolphins orange jerseys are so ugly that I love them. I literally have a Zach Thomas orange jersey. I'm gonna rock it next time. Trying to think, yeah, that's probably. I'm trying to think of another jersey.
I'm trying to see if I.
Those would be my go to for sure. What are the questions we got?
No, I mean the rest are like we can't do like a conversation on.
Yeah, so if you're gonna leave.
Best 2-0 team. Most surprising 2-0 team.
I'll tell you right now, probably.
I mean, we got Falcons at 2-0. We got Commanders at 2-0, Finns at 2-0, Cowboys 2-0, 49ers 2-0,
Saints 2-0.
Saints 2-0. To me, honestly, the most surprising would be the Falcons.
I think the Bucks. The Falcons are the Bucks. The Bucks are 2-0. The Bucks are
2-0. Baker is 2-0.
And they beat the Vikings. Who was your survivor?
They beat the Vikings. I think they're my survivor pick.
Yeah.
It was not Kate. And let's to talk on it. One division has three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Falcons, Saints, Bucks. If you would have told me that three teams in that division were going to be 2-0, dude.
Well, it's actually the same thing with theirs because it's Cowboys, Eagles, Commanders.
Commanders.
They're 7-1.
But you see,
division.
The NFC East, I thought they're, it was going to be a good division. Good. You know, what the Commanders
Yeah, the NFC South. The NFC South, I would not have gone as a
It's also
power,
that the
powerhouse.
NFC is, what is it? I think 9-0 or 6-0, something like that, against AFC teams so far.
Yes,
yeah, us and the Ravens.
Yeah, us and the Ravens.
Yeah. It's great for us. I mean, a lot of football left, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's a reason you guys are 2-0. There's a reason you guys are all 2-0.
But
and
the NFC,
we're in a dogfight in the AFC, all right? You got QBs
the NFC
everywhere.
Is, I forget what it is. It's either 6-0 or 9-0 so far against the AFC.
Because they're so banged up from playing the other AFC teams.
Not yet. We haven't played.
Yeah, we don't.
Our first NFC
the
game
Giants.
Is
I think the Giants.
The Giants.
Be the
yeah.
Yeah.
Which Saquon will probably be out for that game.
Yeah, probably. He's out way like 2-3 weeks. I think
3 weeks. They said. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right.
We'll do a full Q&A one. We'll do a Q&A. We'll save some of those topics for next time.
We do a Q&A. We get set up a window for those conversations, and then it's too late to go live. We'll go live.
We had some technical difficulties.
Yeah. But one of these days we'll do like some live Q&A too. So, you know, whenever we're recording, jump on here and we'll record some of that. And that's it. But got our locks of the week. Predictions,
and remember, Keon Jenkins over 3 touchdowns. That's for you, Christian. Over 3 touchdowns plus 280.